From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 30th day of June 2021. It's USDA Report Day. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll recap the numbers from the United States Department of Agriculture as they're related to both the acreage and the grain stocks reports released at 11 a.m. Central Time, and we'll discuss how those reports impacted the marketplace with Jackie Vick. She's at Total Farm Marketing out of Hollis, Missouri. And then as we close out our time together, we'll discuss the weather forecast with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Dry conditions, he says, will persist across the northwestern part of the Corn Belt. Wet conditions will get warmer and dry out some in the eastern Corn Belt, and we'll talk about that and how he assesses what the crop is like, not only here, but in Brazil and parts of Kazakhstan and the new lands of Russia, too, on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, let's start with the USDA reports. Here are the numbers as they came in from the United States Department of Agriculture at 11 a.m. this morning. USDA says that farmers in the nation planted 92.692 million acres of corn this season. That's up 1.548 million acres from the March Prospective Plantings Report, or the estimate made back in March by farmers themselves. The soybean number at 87.555 million acres is about 45,000 acres, less than the 87.6 million acres that farmers had suggested they would plant when USDA asked them back in March. And for the grain stocks numbers, we now show that there are 4.112 billion bushels of corn on hand. About 1.744 billion of that are on farm and 2.369 are off farm. There are 767 million bushels of soybeans still around, on farm 220 million. And off-farm, 547 million. Now, before we get to the impact of those numbers on the trade in Chicago, I would like to remind you that this is the very last day of our fiscal year, and it's also the last day we have to put money in the bank to spend for the next fiscal year, which starts tomorrow. That's right. Right here at this radio station, we put all the money in the bank that we're going to spend for the coming year in the bank before we ever get to the fiscal year. So it has to be there by this afternoon, or at least pledged by this afternoon. And you can help us out, if you would, please, by making a pledge to willpledge.org, willpledge.org, or calling this number, 217-244-9455. I know it's June and you're busy. You're always busy, which is part and parcel of being a farmer, but please take some time right now to make that phone call and make a donation. It doesn't really matter what amount. And if you've donated before, donate again for this fiscal year, too. We would appreciate that. Again, willpledge.org or 217-244-9455. Either way, tell the person on the phone or put in the comments section that you're pledging in support of agriculture. And thank you. Now, let's take a look at the numbers from the CME Group in Chicago. July corn today up 25.5 cents. It settled at $7.20. September at $5.99 and a quarter, up the 40 cent limit. December also limit higher. New crop at $5.88 and a half. July soybeans at $14.50. A settlement price up 90 and a quarter cents. The November at $13.99, 86 and a half cents higher. Remember that the limit there is a dollar move. Bean meal at $3.75.50, up $27. $10. The bean oil at $65.16, a dollar and a penny higher for the day. July wheat up 31 and three quarters of a cent at $6.71 and a half for the soft red harvest month. The hard red July at $6.50 and a quarter, up 31 and a quarter. And the spring, a September contract at $8.48, up 33 and a half cents. Live cattle futures in Chicago finished the lead at 122.72 and a half. That was 80 cents higher on the day. Feeder cattle at 154.62 and a half, $2.77 and a half cents higher. And lean hogs at $103.25 per 100 pounds, 37.5 cents higher on the afternoon. Some of the outside markets, we'll start with the energies. Crude oil at $73.55 a barrel. That's up 57 cents. The heating oil or diesel fuel at $2.13, just about unchanged on the day. The wholesale price of gasoline also nearly unchanged at $2.24. That's the RBOB per gallon. And natural gas at $3.64 and 3 tenths, a penny and 3 tenths of a cent higher. Ethanol futures at $2.38. They are just about 2 cents lower on the afternoon. Gold futures the day at at $1,769.10, up $5.50. Thank you so much for listening to us here at Illinois Public Media. Remember, you can find us online anytime you'd like at willag.org. That's willag.org. Jackie Vakes from TotalFarmMarketing.com now joins us to take a look at what took place in Chicago, both before and after the USDA reports. It was a surprising report from the United States Department of Agriculture. What was your initial assessment?
Holy cow. It's probably about the best way you could take it. Seldom have we seen the guesses be as far off as they were this time. We were off in March. March, they expected to see a lot more acres. This report, everybody projected there were going to be more acres. We just didn't see it, Todd. And so, it took the market from being down. Well, we were down over 20 at one point in time in beans and corn down, 15. And boom, just like that, we were up 40 and we were up 70. It's a heart racer. There's no question about it.
So when you take a look at the numbers for the acreage in particular, you'll make note on the percent change and acreage change that the Dakotas, North Dakota, South Dakota, and Minnesota were all up. I don't know whether they represent the bulk of the 1.2 or 3 million acres increase or not, but there were a lot of acres planted in those areas, and they're dry.
Oh, that's absolutely the truth. When we saw the actual number of acres that are planted, up in North Dakota, we saw an 84.6% increase in corn acres. We saw a 21.2% increase in South Dakota, and we saw a 6.3% increase, now this is in corn acres, in Minnesota. And those are the areas that are extremely dry. When you looked at it was interesting because in the major part of the Midwest, Illinois, Iowa, we actually saw less planted acres, and I don't think anybody really expected that at all. On the bean side of things, again, North Dakota up 25% over last year, South Dakota up 11%, Minnesota up 4%, and Minnesota, it represents a lot. Wisconsin up 10%. Those areas have all been extremely dry. So, the key is going to come down to, as we head into this next WASDE report, in July, will we see them drop the yield? I noticed today when I looked at the overall acres and I looked at the percentage of harvested acres, they dropped that by 0.5%. They went from 91.65 down to 91.15. And so they're already reflecting some issues when it comes to that. It's going to be interesting. That's all I can say.
Yeah. So at this point, we really were thinking, okay, if they come out with a 94, we kind of know where we are because we're already there. If they come out with something bigger, then bad things happen, and we're still worried about the Dakotas and Minnesota. But boy, it changes and things get not as good as it was. However, this number, you have to ask yourself, was yesterday an opportunity for old crop sales, maybe new crop sales too? And is today an opportunity for both old crop sales and new crop sales if you failed to take advantage of yesterday? It's just really hard, I think, for producers to put this in their minds.
It is. I mean, the gyrations in the market are just difficult to handle. And it has so much to do with all the outside forces that there are too. You look at... when I looked at the grain stocks report, Todd, I thought that was extremely interesting, too, because, all of the numbers came in lower than what the guesses were. I compared on-farm stocks for corn at 42% this year compared to 57.3% last year. So we know the majority of the crops in the commercial hands usually tempers how low we're going to go. When you look at soybeans, 28.6% on farm, 45.8 last year. Wheat, 16.7, 22.2 last year. So the commercial definitely has, you know, over 50% of the crop on all of these crops and somewhere as high as 70%. And so I think that that tempers things. Now, to go back to what you were talking about, how do you do this? You have to at least do a percentage reward is what you've got to do, especially on a day like today when you see us up 70. You have to do something. But boy, I feel for you because it just rips your guts out. One day it's like this. Even this morning, people were looking at the market going, oh my gosh, what's going to happen here? You know, we're down. And then if we come in with 95 million acres of corn, what's going to happen? And just like that, everything changed.
Indeed. And you mentioned that the yield could change in the month of July. That would not be unprecedented for the United States Department of Agriculture. The World Agricultural Outlook Board, not USDA NAS, but right. The Outlook Board, right. To take a look at what planting conditions were like, take a look also at what conditions have been like through the growing season and say, you know, we don't think that the yield we have pegged, which is a record yield, is going to be there given conditions on the ground at this point. They could change that. Of course, the August crop production report will do a bit more of that, but still, no real in-the-field counting at that point either.
No, at that point in time, we'll be looking at September before we're really doing anything in the field and counting. One of the other things on the acreage report, Todd, that I thought was interesting is that there was still 2.1 million acres left to be planted. And you've got to ask yourself, is that double crop beans? What is it? You know, I would guess it's probably double crop beans. And if that's the case, that really tightens things on beans if we don't get that all in the ground. And so it's going to be, you know, things are complicated today too because of the fact that today is the last day of the month and the last day of the quarter. So you see a lot of position squaring that's going on. And so I'd say tomorrow we'll actually see the real reaction to the true reaction as to whether we're going to continue to be able to move higher or not.
So given all of this, what do producers think about today's report as it relates to their marketing plan?
Well, I guess, you know, you have to look at, I think up until today, there were a lot of producers who were down to gambling bushels. You know, they were just kind of hanging on, and they were really feeling bad about not having gotten rid of it. Now, today comes along, and it's like, okay, are we going to go a lot higher, aren't we? Well, again, I'm going to go back and say you've got to reward it. I mean, if you were feeling bad today that you didn't do anything, you need to do it. That's just the way it is. You can always use an instrument like a call and have some re-ownership if you want. But to continue to play this up-down roller coaster ride that the market is this year, it's really, really difficult emotionally. And, you know, when you're busy on the farm, it's easy to miss opportunity.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Jackie Vakes is with Total Farm Marketing. She is in Hollister, Missouri. It's a Wednesday. Let's check in with Drew Lerner now. He's at worldweatherincorporated.cc. That's worldweather.cc out of Kansas City, if you want to find him on the web, that is. Thanks, Drew, for being with us today.
Yeah. Another exciting day in the marketplace, huh?
Well, yeah. Anytime the USDA releases a report, at least in the last several years, it's been exciting. There used to be some humdrum months, but not recently. And this was a big one again, showing more corn acreage in the Dakotas and Minnesota. So let's start there with what conditions are like on the ground and then move eastward across Iowa, Illinois, and the rest of the Corn Belt, please.
Yeah, we are pretty darn dry, as you know. We've had a little bit of shower activity in the last week, but with the heat that's kicking in now, we're going to lose all of that and then some. So a drying bias is definitely underway in the northern plains and upper Midwest. And as long as that continues, which will be at least a six-day period with no interruption of significance, we will obviously stress the crops a little bit more because it's not only going to not rain, it's going to be 100 degrees again in the Dakotas and Montana over the next two or three days, starting in Montana this afternoon, probably continuing at least a Thursday, Friday, and maybe Saturday for Montana. And then over the Friday through Sunday period for the Dakotas, we'll see temperatures in the 90s to near 100 or above. And Minnesota will get into a little bit of warmth, not quite that significant, but certainly 90s, and might even get a little bit of that in Iowa for a brief period of time. So until this time next week, a definite drying trend, more stress for some of the crops. Now, the big question is, will it rain after that? And the models, the last couple of days, have been trying to muster up some greater precipitation in the eastern Dakotas and Minnesota. Just today at midday, we noticed that the model, the GFS model, has removed some of that precipitation that was advertised. So that's giving the marketplace a little further a lift here, it looks like. And the lack of precipitation, that takes us out almost 10 days then without any meaningful moisture. And that's too long with temperatures cooling back maybe to the 80s and lower to a few middle 90s. So it's just not a pretty picture up there. Now, the lower Midwest, the central lower parts of the Midwest, still look like they've got really good moisture right now, probably a little too much moisture for some folks, but that is probably going to disappear. We're going to see some drier weather for a several-day period beginning on Friday, and that'll help to firm up the ground and stimulate faster crop development. So really good conditions in the central and southern parts of the Midwest and on farther to the south probably, and then the stress up in the north. Just finalized the July outlook just a few moments ago, and I've got below normal precipitation for all of the northern plains, the upper Midwest, and near to below normal for the lower Midwest, with the exception of the Ohio River Valley, which I have near normal on precip for July. And temperatures, they'll be warmer than normal in many, many areas. Only the southernmost parts of Indiana, southern Ohio, and points southward will see normal temperatures, with a small part of the southeastern corner of the country a little bit below normal.
Turn your attention to some other areas around the planet that are raising corn. In Brazil, we've been watching or had the Safrinha corn crop with a great deal of interest all the way through our winter months into the early springtime. And as we got into planting and then dry weather in June, we've dismissed it to some extent, but they're still in the middle of the growing season, harvest, relatively speaking. There, they did have some interesting weather early fall, I guess. I don't know. It got frosty in some places.
Yes, it did. And a few freezes, too. The question is, you know, how far along is that crop? And with it being as dry as it has been, it's probably pretty far along. I don't think they're harvesting some of it, obviously. So some of that late filling crop, I've heard, is still in the dough stage. We did see a couple of temperatures this morning in the upper 20s. In southern Mato Grosso do Sul, and over the past two mornings, we've seen a lot of 30-degree readings with frost pretty widespread. The coldest temperature was 25 degrees. We saw that occurring in two places. One was in southern Mato Grosso do Sul. The other was in central Paraná, and that is more wheat country than corn. But nevertheless, frost on a crop that might be trying to finish out may not go over real well. So there could be maybe just a little bit more of a further reduction in some of the quality crop there. The outlook from this point forward, though, is good. They'll go ahead and warm back up and see good harvest weather down that way.
And then across the planet in the new regions of Russia, new land regions of Russia, and maybe in Kazakhstan with some spring wheat areas, given what's happening here in the United States, we probably ought to check on that, too.
Yeah. And they've been struggling over there for quite a little while this growing season with a limited amount of precipitation and warmer than normal temperatures. But it really got bad here in the last week to week and a half, with temperatures in the 90s to over 100 degrees occurring in some of the spring wheat production areas in northern Kazakhstan and neighboring areas of southern Russia's new lands. And I'm sure that there's going to be some loss in yield there, too. Now, the area impacted is a lot smaller than the U.S. northern plains and Canada's prairies. But, you know, it's just part of that equation. You take away a lot of grain out of the North American continent and then add a little problem over there in parts of Russia and Kazakhstan, and you're going to end up, you know, with a even tighter marketplace. So I don't see a lot of relief over there, at least not in Kazakhstan. can, but I do think you're going to see it at least a little bit in Russia. A new ridge of high pressure is supposed to build up over western Russia about a week from now, and that will become the dominating feature going into mid-July. So that'll add another round of heat and dryness, but this time it'll be a little farther to the west, and the soil is a little bit more moist in that area, so it probably will handle the situation a little better. But we'll keep an eye on it, because I think that ridge will be around for a while.
Can I have you come back to North America as we close out? You've been watching the Canadian prairies all year long. It's not been pretty. Did it get better at any point?
No. I suppose it got better for just a brief period in some areas. It was better is probably a kind of an odd word to use, because I think all they did was stop the decline in crop conditions for a while. And now we are accelerating a downward spiral. Western part of Alberta yesterday got up to 108 degrees.
Wow.
And we are going to see temperatures in the 90s throughout all of Alberta and western Saskatchewan through Saturday, with temperature extremes of 100 to 105 in those areas. And then farther to the east in Manitoba and eastern Saskatchewan, temperatures are going to be in the 80s and lower 90s for the next day or two, and then solidly in the 90s as we get into Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. There's no rain. No rain is expected until after the ridge breaks down. And even when it does, there's no moisture source. So the precipitation that occurs is going to be very pocketed. We might see some severe weather up there in pockets, but we're not going to get a general rain. And so the deterioration in crop conditions in Canada will continue to expand and maybe accelerate a little bit. Southern Alberta, southwest through central Saskatchewan, and portions of Manitoba are in the worst shape at the moment. But western Alberta is very quickly catching up with an accelerated drying because of all this heat that's occurred this week.
100 degree plus temperatures must be just really out of the norm for that latitude, I would think.
Absolutely. The last time I saw it was in the 1980s when we had the big droughts over there. You know, from the statistical perspective, just to wow you as a finish to our conversation today, Lytton, British Columbia, of course, got to 121 degrees yesterday. That is just north of the Washington state border. The record highest temperature ever recorded at Phoenix, Arizona, was 122. So this is 1 degree cooler than the record for Phoenix, Arizona. And Las Vegas set a record, all-time record this week of 117 degrees. And Lytton, British Columbia beat that by 4 degrees.
Wow. That's amazing. Amazing. Thank you. As you said, I think in your Twitter feed, what planet are we living on?
Exactly. Well, we'll look for something new next week, maybe.
You bet. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. You can find him at worldweather.cc online. You've been listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media.